there was 3,100 people invested into an investment program down in Cayman Islands and out of the Bahamas as well. Because we went to the Bahamas, we saw the presentation, we put $600,000 in that deal. The United States, when they decided to take down Goss at HOMA, they tried to get Goss to turn over on HOMA because HOMA really was embezzling funds inside the corporation. Michael Goss, he wanted to handle it internally and fix the problem. And because he wouldn't cooperate, they then went to HOMA and told him, you're going to prison, but we'll give you that last time if you will set up Mike and let him take the fall.
Shit.
So they gave him a cell phone, which they recorded every damn thing, and they pieced together pieces of conversation that he would say, well, we're already robbing from Peter to pay Paul and shit like that. Then when they finally arrested him, he had a multi-million dollar home in Atlanta, one down in Fort Lauderdale, and one in the Caymans. They busted in on him in Fort Lauderdale at 2 o'clock in the morning, dragged him out, and he disappeared for 2 weeks. No one knew where he was. That was it. Wife didn't know where he was. No one knew where he was. And he was being moved around from prison to prison. They didn't let him sleep for the first 72 hours. They did sleep deprivation on him, and then they drugged him, and he said, I felt like my food was drugged. And nobody ever spoke to him after that. His wife did every once in a while, but mainly he would send her letters telling her what he was going through. Because they confiscated everything. I tell you how much control they had in the Cayman courts. Because they went down there and they seized $330 million.
Shoo, God.
That was from the 3,100 investors. Now, there ended up being a class action suit on it, and there was a huge receivership that was appointed by Stinger & Stinger. Now, out of the recovery that they did, which was probably $60 million, I think the attorney paid themselves somewhere around $30 to $31
million. Jeez.
There's a big class settlement against the Bank of Bermuda because the banks were actually promoting the deal. They were literally flying millionaires down the Cayman Islands to invest in this deal. There was nothing nefarious going on. The banks knew it was all legit. And they told him that he was running a Ponzi scheme or whatever. And he said, this ain't no Ponzi scheme. He said, I have every single document and everything filed on the UCC with the Secretary of State and everything. But the same thing happened to him. He had corporate attorneys, but as soon as they did that asset forfeiture on him, all the attorneys said, well, we can't help you now. You ain't got no money. So this guy has the same story that Michael Goss had. Nobody would help him. I ended up writing a lawsuit for him for genocide and apartheid for what they were doing to him in the federal courts because they kept him for 15 months. Michael Goss was 6'8". He weighed 252 pounds when he went into prison, which means he wasn't fat. They starved him down to 140 pounds before they got him to plead guilty. And he wouldn't even plead guilty then. If he didn't plead guilty, they would send the mafia after his wife and kids.
Jeez, that's cold-blooded right there.
One letter I remember reading, he was writing the letter with socks on his hands. I said, what's he got socks on his hands for? She said, well, they do this thing called riot control in the prison, which was DTC up in Bronx, New York. I said, what does riot control mean? She said, they have these big refrigerator units all over the prison. They freeze the prison down to about 38 degrees. And they're only sitting in there like 10 men in a cell on a concrete floor with one little blanket. The guards are wearing heavy coats and gloves, and she's even said that he tells me that even they are cold.
Yeah.
They call it riot control because once they freeze them down like that, they won't move. I know other people who've been through the whole freezing technique. He's dead now, but they did it to him for 8 days down here in DeLand, Florida. One of the other things that they would do, they would transfer around from prison to prison. He was in upstate New York for a while, and they would put him outside with just his orange jumpsuit on, pair of socks and sandals, standing there in the snow. So you remember this guy talking about how they would put him into holding cells and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, they put him into a holding cell this one time, stripped him naked, chained him to a metal chair, turned a fan on him, and let him sit there all day long. And when he was begging to go to the bathroom, they said, no, just go ahead and defecate on yourself. We'll clean it up later.
I listened to another audio that this guy was being interviewed, and he's no dummy. He used to do the black ops for the government. They asked him to be part of Oklahoma City bombing, and he rejected it. And when he retired, that's when they came in with, you know, playing a big machine gun on it. That's the second interview about this guy, but if you go back and do a search, there are no flies on this guy. But it tells you what the average citizen is up against. It's like, if you listen to this audio even more, all these prisons, the whole thing is rigged.
I already know all of this. And the reason I know it is because once I saw what happened to Michael Goss, and then we moved back to the U.S. and I had guys that were calling me, we were starting filing cases. We were using David Wynn Miller's truth language technology. And I was highly involved with all those kind of things. But I had other friends of mine that were like, hey, I got this guy in prison. Do you think you can help him out? They could never, ever get their records. And of course, he's mentioning that in a video.
Yep.
This one guy I was talking to, he was in prison in Rhode Island. He was there with the gentleman who had started mailboxes, et cetera. When it was taken out by UPS stores, which is something that the CIA set up to do, they finally went after this guy after he'd already sold the business. And I don't know what they charged him with, but he'd been sitting in prison for 2.5 years with no trial.
So what's the reason behind all this? Why are they so aggressive about this?
To wear them out. They get promotions for convictions. It's a money system. They don't care. I got another friend of mine that didn't do anything wrong to serve 3 years in prison, and he had 185 homes. They took everything he had and sold all of his houses. He was a multimillionaire. He had all kinds of rental properties and all kinds of homes that were all mortgaged out at 70% on the dollar. He did seminars training people how to flip properties and do it right and walk away with, you know, 30 grand in your pocket at closing and all this kind of stuff. This is in the 90s.
So they're really after high net worth individuals so they can go in and grab it themselves.
This is how the judges and the agents make money.
Yeah.
This has nothing to do with any, oh, here's the plan coming down from D.C. But you think they care in D.C.? This is how the prison system works. I saw it firsthand. I got to read the letters. I got to have the people call me who were not getting their medication, sleeping on a concrete floor, in a 10 by 10 with 10 other people. People think that they're on some kind of holiday here. That's all nonsense. There are some minimum security prisons, you know, probably for people like Wesley Snipes. I mean, like Snipes, they just made an example out of him. He was served 3 years in prison for willful failure to file. They always get you back in line. But when they really want you, people like Goss, who was helping people move money offshore, bring it back in, invest, make money, you know, what they did with the 3,100 people, as soon as Goss got arrested, they started IRS audits on everybody.